This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Shabbos, tape number 5. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis, or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klolim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion, something will not be reflected correctly. For subscription information about the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, please contact Daf Yomi Tapes, PO Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952. This tape is dedicated in memory of Harav Avraham Elia ben Rav Shmuel Halevi Heber, Zichrono Livrocha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding a Masechta Shabbos in the middle of Perek Klal Gadol at the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. This Mishnah is the basis of the entire Masechta, the Mishnah which enumerates the 39 melachas of Shabbos. And the Mishnah says, Avois melachais arboim chaser achas. The primary melachas, i.e. the ones which we find in the Mishkan, are 40 minus 1, meaning there are a total of 39. And what are these 39 melachas? Number 1, zeireah, sowing, placing seeds in the ground. Number 2, chayrish, plowing, softening the earth, and preparing it for planting. Number 3, kaitzer, reaping, harvesting or detaching grain from the ground. Number 4, mamer, collecting grains from the field into small bundles. Number 5, dush, which is threshing, i.e. separating the straw from the grain. Number 6, zira, winnowing, which means throwing the grain into the air to shake the straw, or the chaff as it's called, from the grain. Number 7, birer. After the chaff is removed, we separate out, by hand, all the impurities, like stones, from the grain itself. Number 8, teichen, grinding the grain into flour. Number 9, merakeid, sifting, meaning that we must sift the flour now to remove the coarse bran flour from the fine flour. Number 10, lush, kneading. This means making the flour into dough via adding water and working it into a mixture. Number 11, oife, baking of the dough into bread. Now, these first 11 melachas were needed in the Mishkan to prepare the dyes needed to color the tcheles and the argaman, which were used to dye the assorted fabrics. The next 5 were done in order to prepare the wool. Melacha number 12, geizes, shearing wool off the animal. Number 13, melaben, washing or whitening the wool. Number 14, menaftzai, banging or combing the wool to separate the hairs. Number 15, tzaivai, dyeing the wool. And number 16, taiva, spinning the wool to twist the hairs into threads. The next 4 melachas were done to weave. Number 17, mesich, setting up the warp, the vertical warp threads on the loom between the back and the front rollers of the loom. Number 18, Eise shtei bate niren, setting 2 heddles, i.e. putting the threads through the loops on the loom. Number 19, Eireg shnei chuten, weaving 2 threads, i.e. passing the horizontal threads over the vertical threads. And finally, number 20, Poitzea shtei chuten, removing or shortening threads on the loom. Then we had other malachas. Number 21, kosher, tying a knot. 22, matir, untying a knot. 23, teifer, shtei tfiris, sewing 2 stitches. Number 24, kairea almanas litfor, ripping with the intention of eventually sewing. And Rashi says that kairea shalei almanas litfor, or matir shalei almanas likshar, are not called malachas at all, and are putter if somebody does them on Shabbos. The next 7 melachas will deal with the preparation of hides. Number 21, tzad tzvi, trapping a deer. 26, sheichtai, slaughtering a deer. This is a melacha if someone slaughters anything, because of netilas neshama, taking away a life. 27, mafshitai, skinning the hide after the shechita. 28, malichai, salting it. This is the first step of tanning to help preserve the hide. 29, Ma'abed es oire, tanning the hide. 30, memachkai, scraping the hairs off the hide in order to smooth it out. And number 31, mechatrei, cutting the hide and trimming it in order to use it for a certain purpose. For example, to make shoes. Now we have two additional malachas which are related. Kaisev, number 32, writing two letters. In the Mishkan, similar numbers were put on two different boards to be able to match them up as a pair. 33, meichek almanas lichtayv, someone who erases a couple of letters in order to be able to write two new letters in that place. And the final six malachas are as follows. Number 34, baina, building. 35, seiser, which is dismantling or demolishing. 36, mechabe, extinguishing a fire. 37, mavir, igniting or kindling a fire, which was used in the Mishkan to cook dyes for the purpose of the Mishkan. 38, makeh bepatish, striking the final blow. Rashi explains that this means that at the end of banging out of a keli, the worker gives one final bang to finish the job. And the Ran says, it's the last bang to smooth the keli out. Finally, number 39, hamaitzi mereshus lereshus, carrying from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. The Mishnah concludes by saying these are the Avos Melachos, the primary Melachos needed for the building of the Mishkan, and they total Arboim Chaser Achas, 40 minus 1, or for a total of 39 Melachos in total. Now let's begin the Gemara. Why did the Tanna have to tell us that there are 39 Melachos? We could have counted them ourselves. Our answer is to teach us that if one does all 39 melachas, behelamachas, in one period of unawareness, and he does them b'shaygik, then he's chayav a separate carbon chatas for each av melacha. So if he does all 39, he must bring 39 karbanas. The Gemara says if someone is zoymer, he prunes a vine, or is noitea, he plants a sapling in the ground so a tree will grow, or he is mavrich, placing a vine in the ground, or he is markiv, he grafts two branches together. These are all variations of the melacha of zerea, sowing. And the chiddush is that if one does a few different variations of one melacha, then he's only chayav for one karban. If there was a mound of dirt and a person removed it to level out the ground in the house, then he's chayav for baina. If he did it in the field, he's chayav for chayrish, because now it's roi for planting. If there was a hole and someone filled it, in the house he's chayav for baina. In the field, he's also chayav for chayrish. Rabbi Abba said, if someone digs a hole in his house on Shabbos, and he doesn't want the hole, he only wants the dirt that comes out of the hole, he's pater, since this is called a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It was not done for the same purpose that it was done in the Mishkan. And even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is normally chayev, here he would be pater, since this is called mekalkel. If you dig a hole in your house, you're actually ruining the house. Therefore, he would be pater. Finally, if someone throws a handful of dirt at a palm tree and dates fall off, one is chayav to bring two chatois, one for tailish, detaching, which is a tolda of kaitzer, reaping, and one for mafarik, which is a tolda of dash, threshing or removing. This is the shita of Rashi. Taisus disagrees. Ravashi says, since this isn't the normal derech, he's completely potter. Dafayan dalad. If someone had in front of him different types of food, according to Rashi, this means mixed with these foods are undesirable items like little pebbles, and he wants to separate the inedible items from the food, he may select and eat, and he may select the undesirable from the desirable and leave it for other people to eat, but he cannot select. According to Rashi, if there are two types of food and one wants to separate one of them from the other, this is mutter, since both foods are edible. But Taisvis disagrees and says that even two foods are usser to remove one from the other due to Baira. And this is brought lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simen, Shin Yud Tes, Sif Gimel, that two foods together also have an Isser of Baira. And if one did Baira, he's Chayev Chatas. Ibut Gemara asks, but the Braisa is a stira. First we said it says that Baira is Mutter, then it says Baira is Aser. Ula answers, Baira to eat on Shabbos is Mutter, but to be Baira on Shabbos for something to be eaten the next day, that would be Aser. The Gemara rejects this teretz. Rav Chizda gives a different teretz. And he says the Braisa means, if one is Baira less than a shear, then it's mutter. Rav Yosef rejects this, because this is called Chatzi Shear. And as we know from the Gemara in Yuma, Dafayin Dalad Amin Aleph, that even though Chatzi Shear does not carry an Einish, but it is Usar anyway, since Chatzi Shear is Usar Min HaTaira. The Rashbam points out that Chatzi Shear has no Einish by Melacha Shabbos, since this is not called the Meleches Machsheves. But Rabbi Yosef said, Bairer is mutter if it is done without a keli, i.e. if a person does it with his hand, then bairer would be mutter, since this is not the normal derech achila. But only with a keli is bairer aser. And Rabbi Benuna gives a different shot. Bairer is mutter if one takes the desirable from the undesirable. But to take the psilas from the eichel, this is aser as a malacha of bairer. Finally, Abaye says, one may do bairer to eat it immediately. This is derech achila. But for later in the day, it would be aser to do bairer. The Gemara says, if one has two edible types of food, and one selected one from the other, Ravashi says pader, but it's aser midrabanan. And Rabbi Midifti says chayev. Taisva says the maskana of this Gemara is as follows, and this is in fact the halacha, as it is brought in Siman Shin Yud Tes. In order to be able to do bairer, even if they are both good foods, the following three conditions must be met. Number one, he must take the desirable from the undesirable, from the psilis. This is what we said from Rabbi Hamnuna before. Number two, he must be bairer to eat it immediately. This is what we said from Abaya before. And finally, number three, he must do it with his hand, not with a keli, which is miyuchad lakach. And if one does it with a keli, which isn't miyuchad lakach, it's also aser, but it's only aser midrabanan. One important exception we should point out to the rule that we mentioned before, one of the three rules of being allowed to do bairer, is that a person must take the desirable from the psilis. The one exception to this is if one takes the peel off of a piece of fruit. In that case, it would be mutter, even though the psilis, the peel, is being removed from the eichel. This is because this is how it's normally done. And therefore, the removal of the peel is considered to be derech achila, and therefore is mutter. Therefore, one can remove the peel from fruits like oranges, grapefruits, and pineapples, and vegetables such as cucumbers, carrots, and onions, provided that one does so within the samach lusuda period. In other words, right before one wants to eat it. One cannot do it, though, if he's planning on eating it many hours later. Rav Papa says if someone grinds a vegetable called silka into small pieces, he's chayav achatas because of the malacha of teichin, grinding. The Gemara says if someone makes wool into thread from a live animal, normally it's done from a dead animal, but if someone does it from a live animal, he's chayav three chatois. Number one, geizes, cutting. Number two, menafetz, combing. And number three, for spinning. Rav Kahana says he's pater, since this is not the normal derech to be able to make thread. Therefore, he's pater completely. Finally, ripping in order to sew, which is kerea al menas litvar, occurred in the Mishkan if an animal ate a piece of a curtain, so it had to be ripped in order to create a proper area in order to do a re-sewing. Dafayin hei. Rav Zutra bar Tuvia said that if threads holding a baguette together became loose and someone tightened them on Shabbos, he's chayev. Also, if someone learns Torah from an apikaris, or someone who is Eved Avodah Zarah, he's chayev misa. Also, if someone knows how to calculate the tkufais and mazalais, but pays no attention to it, it's no good, since it's like ignoring the handiwork of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. In fact, the Rambam, in Perek Beis of Hilchus Yisaydi HaTorah, says that a good way to come to Ahavas Hashem is to pay attention to the beautiful handiwork of Hashem. If a person sees the tkufais, mazalais, and all the beautiful things in the world that Hashem has created, then he sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no limit in his ability, and he grows in Ahavas Hashem. In fact, it's a mitzvah to calculate the seasonal cycles and celestial movements, as the Gemara says, as we see from the Pasuk of Devarim, Perak Dalet, U'shmartem va'asisem, ki hi chachmaschem, u'binaschem, le'enei ha'amim. If the Goyim see we know how to make these types of calculations, they will have respect for us. Rashi adds that if one knows these in Yonim, he can predict the weather and forecast the weather. And in fact, the smag counts this as one of the taryag mitzvahs. The Gemara says if someone traps a chalozin fish and extracts its special blue blood, he's chayev for tzad, for trapping. But Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev twice, once for tzad, trapping, and once for disha. Disha is threshing, which is separating the chaff from the grain in the grains in the time of the Mishkan. The analogy here is extracting blood from the animal. The Chachamim hold there is no disha here, since they hold ein disha ella bigedulei karka. For example, the only time that disha is possible is with grain. Taisvus holds, by the way, like Rabbi Yehuda, that yesh disha b'chol davar. Even if it's not gedulei karka, it's still possible to have disha. So if one, for example, milks a cow on Shabbos, he's chayev for mefarik, which is mitam disha. The Rambam, however, paskins like a chachamim that ein disha ella bigedulei karka. Why don't we say in the Mishnah that if one squeezes the chalazin, he's chayav due to netilas neshama, for taking the life of the chalazin? Rabbi Yochanan says, it was squeezed after the chalazin was already dead. Rava says, even if the chalazin was alive, but he's mesasik, so he's pater. Tosfos learns that he's potter since this is considered davar she'ena miskaven. He has in mind to take the blood. He doesn't want to kill the chalazim. And according to Reb Shimon, davar she'ena miskaven is mutter. I think Gemara asks, but it's psik resha, i.e. psik resha v'lo yamus. It may be a davar she'ena miskaven, but if you cut off a chicken's head, of course it's going to die. And even according to Reb Shimon would be maida, that even though it's a davar she'ena miskaven, but if it's a psik resha, it's something where the malacha is certainly going to happen, then he would be chayiv. So here too, if you extract the blood of the chalazon, of course it's going to die. So how can we be mekel with davar she'ena miskaven? He should be chayiv for netilas neshama. The Gemara answers, the person wants the chalazon to be alive as long as possible, because the longer that the chalazon is alive, the bluer the blood is. So although it's a psik resha, but it's a psik resha delay nichalei. He really doesn't want the malacha to happen, the malacha netilas neshama, since it's bad for the blood of the chalazon. The Rishayim learn that it now becomes a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, since in the Mishkan, netilas neshama was the outcome of someone who wanted to kill an animal. But here, he bedafka wants it to live, not to die. Rabbi Barahuna said, if someone salts meat on Shabbos, he's chayev for ma'abed, for tanning a hide. Rava says, there is no ibud by food, only by hides. Ein ibud ba'eichlin. Taisva says that even according to Rava, while salting meat on Shabbos is not an iser midaraisa, it is aser midarabanan. And the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perakov Beis, Halacha Yud, adds that it is aser midarabanan, since it's similar to pickling or preserving, which is similar to cooking, which of course is aser on Shabbos. If someone rubs the ledge or ground between pillars of a porch, he's also chayav for mamachek, for smoothing. So the chiddush is that mamachek is not only for hides. Ravashi says, if someone scrapes the tops of sticks to sharpen them, he's chayav for machatech, for cutting. If someone smooths ointment or cream on a bandage to put on a wound, he's chayav for machek, for smoothing. And if someone puts the finishing touch on a stone by chiseling it to polish it, he's chayav for makeh bepatish. Finally, the word elu in the Mishnah comes to exclude the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who said that if one does an av and the tolda of that av, he's chayav for two chatois, if it's done even behalamachas. We hold like the Chachamim that it's only one chatas. The next Mishnah. The Rabbanan said another klal, something which is suitable to be stored, i.e. it's something normally used by people that is in a quantity worth storing. If someone carries it from one reshus to another, or he carries it dalet amas b'reshus harabim on Shabbos, he's chayav for hitzah. But if it's not fit for storage, or the quantity is small, then only the one who stores it is chayav if he carries. Anyone else is potter. Dafayin vav, Gemara. Our Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who holds anyone who carries would be chayev, as long as someone considers it to be chashev. The next Mishnah. The shear of straw needed to be carried to be chayev for haitzah is milay pi para, the size which is large enough to fill a mouthful of a cow. Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said, two items with different shiurim can be combined for the kal between them, but not for the chomer between them. The next Mishnah. If one takes out food and carries either from one rishus to the other, or dalat amas b'rishus harabim, then the shear to be chayef for haitzah is kigrageras, the size of a dried fig. And different foods can be mistarif to the shear, since all foods have the same shear, except peels and pits, which are not really food, and coarse bran. Rabbi Yehuda holds, peels are not mistarif, except for lentil peels, which are cooked together with the lentils. The Gemara, by challah, bran is included in the shear, since a poor person eats it. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Ches Hamoitzi Yain, the Mishnah. In order to be chayav for haitzah on Shabbos, for carrying undiluted wine, mershus lirshus, a person must carry enough undiluted wine needed to add with water to make a full cup. For milk, enough to drink in one gulp. For oil, enough needed to apply to a small limb. In terms of water, a person must carry enough to make kilar cream for the eye. For all other liquids, the shear needed to be chayev for haitzah is a revius. A revius, by the way, is the size of about 1.5 eggs, and it's called a revius since it's 1/4 of a leg. On Shabbos, when we make kiddush, we know that we need to have a shear of a revius. This is about 3.5 ounces. And dirty water, the shear is a revius. Rav Shimon says by all of these cases in our Mishnah, the shear is a revius. Gemara. The cup of wine in the Mishnah refers to a kais yafe, or a kais shal bracha, a kais used for birkas hamazon. Dafayin vav. Proper wine must have at least one part yayin to three parts water. Others say one part yayin to two parts water. Since our Mishnah says that all liquids require a full revius to be chayav for haitza, but wine requires a lesser amount to eventually be mixed with water to create a revius, we see the chashivas of wine. The Taz in Or HaChaim, Simin Reish Yud, Sifkat Nalf, based on our Gemara, says that if one drinks a small glass of whiskey, he's mechuyev to recite a bracha achrayna, even though it's less than revius. Just as the Gemara says regarding carrying on Shabbos, that a third of a revius of pure wine is as chashiv as a revius of another type of beverage, so too a small glass of whiskey is considered as chashiv as a revius of wine, since it's a very strong drink, which is commonly drunk in small quantities, just like a shot at a time. The Eshel Avram, in Simen Ayin Reish Beis, applies the logic of the Taz to Kiddush recited over whiskey. We know, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Ayin Reish Beis Siftes, that in the morning many Paiskim allow making Kiddush over whiskey and certain other Chamer Medina beverages. He suggests that one may recite Kiddush over even a small glass of whiskey, just one shot, which contains less than a revius, since that is the amount of whiskey that people regard as a full drink, just as the Taz says with respect to the halacha of bracha achreina. The Mishnah Berurah, however, argues on this Taz and says that if a person makes kiddush on whiskey, he still has to make it on a cup which has a revius. Rabbi Yehuda Marav says everything that Hashem created in this world was created for a purpose. Nothing was just put here for no reason. The Gemara says there are five cases where the fear of the weak is on the strong, which is really the opposite of teva. Number one, the cry of a mafkia bug on the lion. Number two, the mosquito on the elephant. Number three, the spider on the scorpion. Number four, the swallow on the eagle. And finally, the small sherets on the leviathan fish. An example of how things are done for a good reason is the camel's tail, which is very short. It's short since it eats thorns, and if the tail would be long, it would get stuck in the thorns. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it short. And an ox's tail, which is so long, and it's long since it dwells in swamps, where there are a lot of bugs, so a long tail can swat away the bugs. Dafayin Ches. If someone carries out something which has two different uses, one common use and one uncommon use, the Rabbanan will go after the shear of the Shchiach item regarding Haitzah, even if it creates a Kula. If both are equal, then they go after the shear of the Chomer. The next Mishnah. If someone takes out a rope and carries Mirshus L'Rishus on Shabbos, he's chayev if he carries the shear of rope large enough to make a handle for a basket. Paper, large enough for a tax collector to write a receipt on. For cloth, parchment, large enough to write the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema on. And for ink, enough to write two letters. Gemara. The shear of the taxpayer receipt is a piece of paper large enough to write two large letters. Others say two average size letters. Once he already showed the receipt to the tax collector, there's a machlokes if carrying it is still chayev, since maybe it isn't considered chashev anymore at this point, because now that it's been shown, it's rendered useless. Finally, if someone takes out a shtar chayev on Shabbos before it was paid, he's chayev, since it has a value. After it was paid, he's pater, because it has no value. Rabbi Yehuda says, even afterwards, he's still chayev, since it does have a value. The Rabbanan hold that the malva cannot keep a shtar chayev by him after the loan was paid, since we're afraid he may come to collect the loan a second time. Therefore, at this point, it's useless. Rabbi Yehuda says the malva can keep it, therefore it still has some sort of a value. Dafayin Tes. Others say the machlekes is based on whether when a leva pays back a loan, if the malva must give him a shever, a receipt, or there is an implicit receipt based on the fact that the malva gives the leva back to shtar chayv. So the malva now cannot claim the loan a second time. The Gemara says when it comes to herbs, people don't trouble themselves to soak them unless they're going to use a lot of dye. Masha Einkein regarding skins, people will trouble themselves to tan even a small piece of hide if he needs it to make a kameya, an amulet. The minimum shear for a cloth from a beged to be mekabel tumas medras is 3 times 3 tvachim. Sackcloth made from goat hair, 4 by 4 tvachim. Animal skin, 5 by 5 tvachim. And mat, 6 by 6 tvachim. Hide of an animal, after removing the hairs, is called gvil. It is normally split, then, into two layers. The outer thin layer is called the klef, from the word klipa, to peel, and the inner layer is called duchsustus. Sustus means flesh. This is the portion of the gvil which is closest to the flesh. That's why it's called the duchsustus. If someone carries a piece of klef or duchsustus large enough to write a parsha of tefillin, then he's chayev for haitzah on Shabbos. Rav said, Duchsustis has the same din as klaf. Everyone agrees that tefillin can be written on klaf, and everyone agrees that a mezuzah can be written on duchsustis. The question is whether tefillin can also be written on duchsustis, or whether a mezuzah can also be written on klaf. So the Gemara says, Rav is saying here that tefillin can be written on both, although the mitzvah min ha-mufchar is to write tefillin on klaf. The Gemara says there's a halacha l'maishim mi-sinai, that tefillin is written on klaf, l'chatchila, and mezuzah is written on duchsustis, l'chatchila. The Gemara says if the parshiyus of tefillin became rubbed out, or a sefer Torah became rubbed out, we cannot make it into a mezuzah, because the halacha is, ein meiridin mikedusha chamura likedusha kala. A sefer Torah has more kedusha than a mezuzah, so by making the parchment that was a sefer Torah into a mezuzah, we would be lowering the level of kedusha. Rashi explains practically what this means, is that one cannot take an old sefer Torah and cut out the parsha of Shema Yisrael from Devarim Perek Vav, and the parsha of Ahaya im Shemaya from Devarim Perek Yud Aleph, and use them for a mezuzah. Taisus wonders how one could make a mezuzah from a worn-out sefer Torah, since the parsha of Ahaya im Shemaya does not immediately follow Shema, and a mezuzah, we know, must be written on a single piece of parchment and not sewn together from several pieces. And in fact, this halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch Yeridaya Simin Resh Pei Ches Sif Dalet, that a mezuzah must be written on a single piece of parchment. If one writes a mezuzah on two pieces of parchment and then sews the two pieces together, the mezuzah is pasul. Taisus explains that the Gemara here is referring to a case where the parsha of Shema was written at the bottom of one of the Sefer Torah columns, and one wishes to make a mezuzah by cutting it out and writing the parsha of Ahaya Mishamaya under the parsha of Shema on the blank margin. Alternatively, says Taisus, the case is where the parsha of Ahaya Mishamaya is written at the top of a column, and one wishes to write the parsha of Shema above it on the top margin. The Rush, citing the Mechilta, states that a mezuzah must be written kisidron, in the proper order. If one skips a word and then fills it in afterwards, the mezuzah is pasul, since that word was written out of order. The Gemara says Rameir used to write a mezuzah on a klaf, since it preserved it better. And the maskana of the Gemara is a retraction from how it interpreted Rav before, and now the Gemara says that mezuzah can be written not only on duchsustis, but on klaf as well. Tefillin, however, can only be written on klaf, not on duchsustis. Dafpeh. When the Mishnah says two isias of diyai is enough to be chayev for haitzah, it can be enough for any two isias, wet ink or dry ink. Can it be mitzdaref 1 plus 1? Where it says, teiku. If someone carried a chatzi shir, half of a gregeris now, and a different half later, he's pater, unless he passed the second one over the first one, then he's chayev. If one carries from one reshus two halves of a gregeris, one half he places in one reshus, and one half in a different reshus, he's pater. But to the same Rishus, he's chayev. Rabbi said, he's only chayev if there is a Rishus harabim between these two Rishuyas. But if it's a Carmelis, where carrying is only Asr min Rabbanan, then he's pater. Abaye said, even a Carmelis, he's chayev. If one carries out a hair, the shear needed to carry is enough to knead clay with it. If a girl brought shtei saris, which proved her puberty, and then wanted to remove them, for poor girls, they would use lime to remove the hairs. By wealthy girls, they would use flour. And royal families would use Shemen Hamor. This is the Lashon, by the way, used in Megillas Esther. Shishach Adoshim, the Shemen Hamor. And Shemen Hamor is either scented oil or young olive oil, which hasn't grown 1/3 yet. And Shemen Hamor causes the skin to glow. Finally, it's dangerous for a person to darshan regarding the Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava is the heavenly realm of the angels. The next Mishnah. The amount of red dirt needed to be chayav for haitzah is enough dirt to seal large sacks. The Chachamim say enough to seal a letter. What about to be chayav for haitzah for carrying a reed? What person has to carry enough to be able to make a quill? The Gemara. After the Churban, a person should not plaster his home with lime unless he mixes in straw or sand in order to darken it. Finally, the egg of a rooster cooks up faster than any other egg.